Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory with great warranties. And check out, by the way, what Sunbury Motors is doing with Hyundai right now. Fabulous pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a great service department with fabulous technicians that back it all up for the life of the vehicle, all at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
So Jason Kidd is at midcourt having a conversation with the officials as to whose possession it is. An official said it was Dallas ball before timeout. They were giving the ball to Golden State. Kevon Looney made a basket, but all right, so there was an offensive rebound. The ball went out of bounds off of Looney. It's Dallas ball, but I think Jason Kidd was still wondering why it wasn't Dallas ball to begin with.
Back to about the two-minute mark. Watch here. Dallas thinks it's their ball out of the timeout. The Warriors are inbounding under the Dallas basket. You saw Looney start to run the other way, and then he realizes, wait, we have a layup, but the Mavs were under the assumption it was their ball.
And I think that's how it was originally called, and then there was a stoppage to try to explain it. But I get now why we were actually looking at the monitor, because Steve Kerr was on that wire clip as Michael Green with a blow-by and dunk. I mean, that's the oddest thing I've seen in some time.
Yeah, well, that's all the doubt. Well, it was strange, but it's the NBA. Now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, because we have the ability with the Mac Controller rants of the day to tease upcoming episodes, we now bring in part three of the rant.
Well, actually,
we do not know there's a part four.
No, this is the final one, but I'll hold on that because we have Bob from Hanover on the line.
Oh, hello. Hey, Bob, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Can you hear me okay?
I can. How are you feeling, by the way, Bob?
Oh, you got me. Yep, I'm feeling great, like nothing ever happened, so I'm really doing very pleased with that.
Think about you way more than you realize, so that's why I wanted to ask.
I appreciate that. My question is, NIL confuses me, because when I thought it, when it first started, it sounded like schools could not have anything to do with NIL. Now I'm seeing schools have their own collectives, even Penn State starting to have them, and they're endorsing these NIL collectives. Well, how can they do that? I mean, is there something I'm missing here? I thought it was going to be more of a thing where if a kid signed a scholarship and he was a star player, he could go to, like a pro athlete does, go to a local business and say, hey, I'm this guy, I'm going to be a star. Can you sign me for advertising and pay me $500,000 a year for doing it? But I don't know what it is or how you go about it. Are there any rules?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So let's start with this. First of all, I agree with you that that's the way I saw the original intent of NIL. So, Bob from Hanover, guess what? You're the star quarterback. Sunbury Motors, our great dealership here in the Valley, would love to have you be their spokesperson, right? And you'd be allowed to do it to capitalize on your, quote, stardom as the quarterback of the team. Now, that to me is capitalizing on name, image, and likeness. Collectives, all right, this is the part I never counted on. Because every time I talked about name, image, and likeness, I always thought of it as what I just talked about. And collectives caught me a bit off guard, like you. So what they are is the ability of boosters to pool their funds. Now, schools can have some involvement now because they can help with the athletes, directing them toward a collective that can then open the door to get them some money so they can have a little more involvement with it. But the university or the representative of the university itself cannot be the ones to say, hey, here's the money, here you go. Right.
But that representative, like in our case, it would be Pat Kraft, he can direct alumni or boosters, whatever you want to call them, fans, to a collective.
Well, they have, like, for example, Dan Caballa does a lot of work with football, and Brian Snow is the one doing it with basketball. And they're the ones that can say, hey, we need you at the quarterback club. Can you go to the quarterback club? And through whatever collective, they're going to make sure that you get some money to do it as an appearance fee, something like that. That's a simple way of, that's a simple way of putting it.
And can you do that now to recruit a player? I mean, to me, it sounded like you couldn't use it for recruiting a player. It was only after they had committed and started representing the school that they could go after money.
Well, they have to know whether you have name, image, and likeness money in the collective ahead of time. Now, how much money is actually in the collective that is designated for your student athletes? And that's
does the athlete know how much money he's asking? Does he go out and say, I want $500,000? And if you can get me that through a collective, or then I'm fine. Is he allowed to do that?
I'm sure they can ask. Now, whether or not a coaching staff can say, yeah, we got it for you. No, but let's talk about, for example, Miami, John Ruiz. John Ruiz is a businessman. John Ruiz is doing what we talked about in for subtle endorsements of his products. That's how he's getting all the Miami people to do it. Now, the story is that Denzel Pack left Kansas State to play basketball at Miami for $400,000 a year for 2 years plus a car. Okay. All right. And that's how they're doing it. But John Ruiz is not officially affiliated with the University of Miami. All right. But he is a, quote, Miami booster. And everybody knows when it comes to the collective, he's the guy that they will point you in his direction. How about that?
Yeah. Now, like, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I apologize for saying that in that area there, but
that's fine.
Lamar Jackson's his own agent. If I were to call Lamar up and say, look, I'll pay you $1 million a year if you sign that contract with the Ravens, can I do that?
You can do whatever. It's your money. You can do whatever you want. He's a professional.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a professional.
It's what it sounds like. We're all professionals now, to a certain degree.
Right. Well, the relationship between collectives and universities is complicated. Certain states have enacted laws that have opened up the possibility for coaching staffs to talk directly with collectives. For example, Tennessee, Mississippi. But New York, for example, see, there's 50 states. There's nothing unified. So, for example, Tennessee, Mississippi, the laws there allow coaching staffs to talk directly with collectives. Hey, Bob, I know you're in the collective, the whole deal. You're running the collective. Hey, we got a guy that, you know, we need you to talk to about coming here to said university. But in New York, coaching staffs are banned from talking to collectives. It just depends on what the state law happens to be.
Yeah. I just find the thing so confusing and also so frustrating, because I got emails, being a longtime season ticket holder for both football and basketball, I've got emails I can't remember if Shrewsbury sent any, but Pat Kraft sent one out about 3 or 4 months ago.
Yep.
And I think Franklin posted something about it. They're basically asking people like me, who's not a wealthy man, to donate money. Well, I am donating money. How much do you want me to donate?
Right.
It just gets very frustrating from my point of view. The amount of money that I've put in being a fan, and I love Penn State, and that's the main reason, and now they're asking for more money. And it's like, well, how much do you want from me?
Right.
And well, at what point do you get to the point where you shouldn't donate any more money? I just don't understand the whole thing.
Right.
I mean, I don't mind if a guy wants to make some money on his name. That's up to him if he wants to do that.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to pay him.
Right. Well, the NCAA, requires NIL agreements to be based on, quote, an independent case-by-case basis. That's why, for example, you have, just as an example, Success with Honor as one of the collectives. Now, the price tag on contract agreements, is what they believe the value the athlete brings. It's not an incentive for enrollment decisions or membership on a team. That's what it's not supposed to be. That's what the NCAA states a collective is not supposed to be involved in the recruiting process or in the transfer portal. But you and I both know that that's unrealistic. Okay?
Right.
And I mean, it's unrealistic. So when it comes to donating, obviously you would donate to the Nittany Lion Club. All right. There are some people that have taken the extra step in their lives, Bob, and have endowed a scholarship. In fact, Penn State, I believe, is, I think I've been told, as high as third in the nation in endowed athletic scholarships.
Wow.
Well, do you now, if you happen to be a higher level donor, so I'm not talking about you, Bob, because obviously you're doing what you can, right? Do you then make the decision, like, I was thinking about endowing a scholarship, but you know what? Maybe I should donate to the collective. And I think those are the decisions that especially higher-level donors do have to make about their programs. Because there are some people. There's a guy that is a big-money guy at Georgia, and he is not concerned about at all about getting return for his money. To him, return for his money is winning.
Right. No, I understand
So he's donated a lot to the Georgia Collective. Because there'll be people, for example, all right, let's go back to the simple example of Bob, you're the star quarterback. My car dealership wants you to be our spokesperson. I'll give you money. Well, what if you go out and you have a lousy season?
Right.
Well, as a business owner, and this is the capitalistic world, I do want, feeling like I'm getting something in return here. Right, your lousy season could drive my sales down, so because of that, I may not want you back. That's how the capitalistic system works. That's not how collectives work.
Another interesting thing about that is, I'm not going to name it. I don't even know if I remember the name of the Penn State collective, but I got some emails from them, and I asked them, I said, can you tell me of the money that we donate to this collective, how much is administrative and never goes to the athlete? Who's paid? Can you give me a rundown on that? And they never respond to that.
My understanding is, for the most part in collectives, these are all people that, for example, have a lot of people I know that are involved in the collective have just put their own personal time into it.
Okay.
And they're not getting anything from it. They did not get involved in the collective. I'm talking about most of them did not get involved in the collective so they could get a little cash on the side themselves. They did it with the idea they're trying to help the program. Now, that's the way I've understood most people
involved. But they won't even answer that question. So are they hiding something? Who knows? I mean, or do they think it's none of my business, which is their right to say that, I guess.
And I also noticed that some
of the guys that are advisors to these collectives actually sit on our board of trustees, so they are involved in the university.
Yeah, but I don't think they're involved at the point Bob, where they're personally trying to profit off it themselves. I think for the people I know that have been involved in it have done it with the idea they feel this is the best way to help the program.
Yeah, but I guess my point, even if they're not profiting, if they're sitting on the board of directors of the university, then the collective is tied to the university. It is not separate. So I think they're running a fine line there and doing what they're doing in the way that they're doing it. And I don't know the answers to that because no one's ever published anything about how these are set up, who runs them, who you call. I don't know how you do any of that stuff. The websites are pretty vague. I mean, they give you a way to contact them, but...
Now, some of them are transitioning over to 501(c)s.
Uh-huh.
So
that's probably a good thing.
Right. So that's part of what's going on here.
So then they will have to disclose all that stuff.
Yes. Yes. So some of them are going in that direction, and they want to. They want to be going in that direction. But, you know, but like anything, it's not as simple as saying, we're a 501(c). Right.
Right.
Like anything, there's a process.
And just two other points, if you can touch on at some point. You don't have to do it right now. I forgot the first one now. Well, the second one was, did you know Joe Paterno is actually, I heard him on an interview once, and he said when he went to Brown, one of the first things that happened is he was introduced to a booster, and he said, or an alumni, and he says, this is your go-to guy. If you need anything, call him up. He'll bring it to you. Like, if you need money to go out and take a date out to the movies, he'll give you money. And which I found that was sort of interesting because that was probably in the 40s, huh?
And, yes, that would be in the 40s.
I found that a little interesting. And the other thing is, what are these guys, like half of the basketball team, or sitting on the end of the bench. They bust their butts in practice every week. What do they think of all this stuff?
Well, or don't, talk,
doesn't anybody really care what they think?
You know what? I don't think, to be honest with you, that's one thing I always wondered about, Bob. Would it cause any locker room animosity among people? I'm the quarterback. You're the offensive line. All right. My name, image, and likeness is this. Yours is not quite mine.
Yeah.
And you know what? To this point, it has not played a role in it. The only time I ever heard it become an issue, let's go back to Miami basketball. You are seeing the outstanding play of Isaiah Wong out of Philadelphia at this point.
Yeah.
Last year when Pack came in, Isaiah Wong wanted to. He basically said to Miami, "Hey, I'm leaving, or you either redo my deal or I'm leaving." Right?
Well, did he leave or no?
No, he stayed. He's the one that shot Miami into the Sweet 16 over Indiana.
Oh, because I don't really follow a lot of the basketball teams outside of Penn State and the Big Ten.
Right?
So
But again, this goes back to, hey, it looked like it was going to cause a potential problem because he's getting this, I'm getting this, I'm the first team All-ACC guy, this guy's coming in from the Big 12, I'm the star of the team. Well, in the end, he did not get more money, and in the end, they said to him, look, you have an agreement, and this is the way it is, and he decided to stay. Okay. But that's the only time I have publicly heard anybody say anything about it, and it got muzzled pretty fast.
Yeah, I bet. All right, well, I don't want to tie up your time anymore, but thank you for answering. I just find the whole thing confusing, and I think one thing that the university can do is they've got to be a little more outright in letting people know how these NILs and collectives and everything, how it operates and what to expect from it. Because I don't think anybody really knows outside of the people that have their hands involved in it. And it gets frustrating to me anyway. But I'm one of the older guys. I was in school in the 70s. If NIL would have been involved there, because I was a pretty good-looking guy, I probably could have made some money just from putting my picture out there somewhere. But
I'm not surprised, Bob. I'm not surprised.
Just kidding about that. But
but you know what? sunlight is always the best disinfectant.
Oh, it is. So, yeah.
And it's okay. I don't think anybody has a problem, for example, in football, basketball, about explaining what the deal is, so because they want people to contribute to help out. So I don't think that's an issue at all. I just think that there are a couple of collectives right now, and because there are a couple of collectives, people are trying to answer questions, and they may not be able to answer everybody's questions because, you know, they do want people to be involved.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that. All right. Well, thanks for taking my time. I appreciate it. And I can say that I'm 100% more knowledgeable now than I was when I started the phone call.
Well, that's one of the two of us. Bob, thank you. All right. I hope that helps some. You're done with your rant, right?
I have a part three to it, but we can carry it into the next half hour because that was really good stuff from Bob. That was a good conversation. I think that'll help out a lot of different people that may not know what's happening now with NIL, especially within Penn State.
Okay. Well, it no matter what the program is, whether it's wrestling, you know, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, whatever it may be, the current landscape says you have to have NIL as part of the piece of your recruiting. You know, and this year is the first year where it really has come into play, and for everybody. And it may not be comfortable for everybody. I understand that. You may have your thought process of where you are as a fan may be rooted into when you got in as a fan, and you're like, it's about scholarships and it's about Penn State. And I totally understand that. I totally understand that. But then I always say to anybody that feels that way, I get where you're coming from. But the current landscape says you can't compete unless you have it. And that's the decision you have to make. Do you want to compete? And if you have the ability to help out, that's great. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could chop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I read a lot. Oh, wrong topic. Sorry.
I also read. Sometimes.
Yes, but the Toys R Us flyer is not okay. Not really. I mean, what you call critical reading? All right.
I hated reading as a kid, to be honest with you. I mean, when I read now, I just read like, you know, news stories and stuff like that. Like, I've never been a book reader type guy.
No, I can read books, and you know what? When I was a kid, obviously, what did I read about? Sports all the time. I read sports stories, the sporting news.
If I write if I write a book, that's what I read too. Yeah.
Books on sports, things like that. And my mom never, she told me once, she says, I never criticize what you read because you were reading. That's all it meant. She says, as long as you were doing that, I was fine with whatever sport you wanted to read about. I thought this was pretty cool. All right, today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory with great warranties. And check out what they're doing with Hyundai right now. Fabulous pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee, which is so important to the buying experience. Fabulous service department, great technicians. To take care of the life of the vehicle, which is so important. I didn't read any of that. I did that all off the top of my head. So I can't take credit for reading there.
Oh, my almighty!
Ladies and gentlemen, we now bring back the proprietor and the tone setter for the Bitterness Cafe with rant number 3.
That's right. Well, I'm going to continue this. Where does Penn State go forward now that we've got to spend kind of the theme for the final hour here of the show? And I think you got it right in front of you. Everybody's throwing out 5,000 different names of who should take over from Micah Shrewsbury. And there's a lot of good names out there. Matt Langel, Colgate, I think, is a good candidate. I've seen that firsthand. And there's Rodney Terry of Texas. We just saw him against Penn State. That's another good name. I think you got him right here. Wake up, people. Adam Fisher. I have never seen so much public outreach of players standing up for their guy, a guy that they like internally, as much as I've seen Penn State players go for Adam Fisher, the top assistant to Micah Shrewsbury. I mean, literally, as soon as the news broke out, boom. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 tweets of players and now former players that are saying, give the job to Adam. Give the job to Fish. Let's keep it going. I think that's it right there. If you don't think that's the guy that you wouldn't want as a fan, then I don't know. I don't know what else to tell you.
Well, again, as I pointed out earlier, I am going to... There are going to be excellent candidates both internally and externally. And I think it's important for me, as the voice of the team, to keep, even though I may have strong opinions about something, to keep that to myself unless they ask.
Yeah, absolutely, as you should. But when it comes to fans saying who they may want, this guy sounds good. I've been in that shoe before. I get it. But when I see all those players coming out on Twitter publicly and saying we want this guy, something that I haven't really seen that much of ever, to me that's who I would want. I don't know why you wouldn't. It's the guys in the locker room that ultimately have to work with whoever you bring in. And sure, you have to make sure that you're on the same page with NIL, as we've talked about. But you have to do that with anybody you bring into the helm here. It's not just, you know, these big names that you might think of or may want to come in here. It's anybody that you come in. But when you have a guy in Adam Fisher who has the stamp of approval of the whole roster, it seems, to me, I don't know why you wouldn't want that guy in charge.
Well, let's just see how the process plays out. All right, let's let the process play out. I know you hate it when I give that answer.
Oh yeah, and he has to do his, and he should talk to some of these guys because you never know what you can find in an interview. I'm a full proponent of that, but I think going in, if I'm a Penn State fan, you should want Adam Fisher because you see so much public approval already from the players. You've never seen that before. Don't just pick a guy because it sounds good. It's a guy you know. It's a hot name, that type of thing. I know Adam Fisher's not a hot name. I know he's got some inexperience as a head coach. I get that. But I think if you have the players that back him up and will believe in his system, everything will come and figure out itself. But yeah, we have to let the process play out. I know.
Yeah. So, there you go. Is there anything else learning about the Yankees or?
No, nothing on the Yankees today.
Okay. You got a lot of injuries.
Yeah, we addressed that yesterday. Yeah.
Right. And Captain America doesn't play for America.
And I was perfectly okay with that.
Well, of course you would be. All you care about is number one. Right? Meanwhile, we're second place to Japan while your guy is just sitting at home enjoying Mai Tais.
I think we would have been second place to Japan regardless.
You lost by one run.
I don't want to, you know, burst anybody's red, white, and blue stones, but Aaron Judge or no Aaron Judge, I think the United States would have lost to Japan. Okay. Japan owns baseball. There's a reason why they've won a ton of Little League World Series titles as well. It's hard to beat Japan. I don't care what level you are and who you have on your American roster.
Sounds like, I mean, we've all been told he's a big bat. At least that's what I've been told. He's from California. Last I heard, that was still part of America. That's just me. Rather play an exhibition game against the Orioles. Okay, that's fine. Mike Trout may have struck out to end it, but Mike Trout struck out playing for America.
Cool.
At least he tried.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Not all about him. Not all about him. Concerned. Very concerned. But Rob Manfred's right. They need, somehow you need to come up with something that allows the some of the better pitchers to be involved. We'll see. I don't know. They're not playing until 2026. At that point, Judge will be, 9,000 at that point?
No, what is he, 30? What is he, 30 right now? 31? He'll be 34, 35.
Way too old to play. All right. Oh, well. Could have done it when he was in his youth, but no.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
I'm just saying. Could have. Could have. Back when he comes to the plate, everybody in the ballpark should be humming America. America. Waving little American flags when he comes to the plate. I support our country. Do you? This is your guy. I'm just saying, it's your guy. I get concerned. $7.1 billion in value and no championships in 13 years.
Well, I'll give you that. I'll definitely give you that one.
Well, you have to give me it all. He didn't play for America, did he? No. Okay. Am I incorrect? No. Shunned America.
You got more to give, Steve Jones.
Yeah, that John Hare was right. Right? He's right. So I'm going to, you know, I mean, shunned. I mean, is shunned too big a word? I don't know. All he knows, I looked at the lineup card, and the Mullins kid from the Orioles was playing left field, and Aaron Judge was tapping back to short in a spring training game. You know what's really different about the World Baseball Classic? And I know I related the story earlier in the week. When I had students turn in projects for their talk show, 40% of them were at the World Baseball Classic. Really? I mean, you're talking about people that are 20 to 22 years of age. And you know what? I was impressed by that.
I heard you mention that to the suit the other day. Yeah, I was too.
I mean, I sat back and went, I was taken aback by what I expected their talk shows to be would be about the start of spring football, about the NCAA basketball tournament, about what their Sweet 16 might be, or, you know, something, right? And maybe somebody doing something on the wrestling championship. That doesn't happen very often, but sometimes it does. 40% of them were in the World Baseball Classic. Sat back, I'm listening to all these projects on Sunday. I'm thinking, okay, that's not what I expected. That's a good thing. If you're Major League Baseball, that's a good thing.
Absolutely.
Because you need more young people who think your game is a cool game. All right. Well, the Penguins last night beat the Avalanche 5-2. They've got the Stars tonight. Bob Pompiani was talking about that yesterday, and Sidney Crosby was phenomenal last night.
And after calling Jeff Carter dead weight, which he's not wrong about at all, he scored a big goal last night. He even tweeted that out. I thought that was hysterical.
But you know what? These are opinions. I mean, somebody texted me or emailed me before the NCAA tournament, somebody about the talk show, and they said, well, you know, I don't agree with, you know, some of what you say. And I emailed them back and said, you're not supposed to. What do you think? I'm sitting here thinking, hey, if I say it, you're all going to agree with it? No. I said, come on. I said, it's a talk show. Your opinion is as good as mine. Okay? You don't have to agree with me. It's okay. I'm not offended by anybody who doesn't agree with me, unless it deals with something where I factually know, you know, where I know for a fact, okay, about something, then okay. You know, then it's a little bit different. Then it becomes a factual situation. You know what I mean? All right. Now that, well, I'll sit back and go, nah, you're not quite right about that. And that's only because I know. You know, either based on being there or based on being told by an absolutely reliable source, whatever it may be. But, yeah. Okay. We will take a break. Now, but when it comes to opinion, if you have a different opinion from me, that's fine. There's no issue at all. Zero. All right. That's all the fun of doing the show. It's a show. I always love when people get all wrapped up, and I'm telling you right now, I didn't like it. Please, slow down. It's okay. I'm not offended in the least. All right. We'll take a break, come back with more in a moment. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This would be you waking up in the morning.
Maybe sometime, sure.
And Lisa telling you, knock it off. Get the kids ready for school.
Yes. That would be the case, yes.
Well, I can't wait for tomorrow's show because, I mean, the week is building up where I can sense more anger out of you with each episode.
Well, it's not because of sickness. We're all, I think, pretty much in the clear now. We've all been pretty good the last couple of days, so at least we'll not be from that.
With everything going on here, there is a Sweet 16 to be played tonight. Michigan State, Kansas State, the opening game. That'll be the one John Crispin will have at the Garden on radio. And the nightcap there will be Florida Atlantic against Tennessee. Then tonight in the West, these should be two really good games. Arkansas-UConn. And UConn's been one of the, I think, one of the three, four best teams in this tournament so far. And then one that I think has whet the appetite for everybody, Gonzaga and UCLA. And those games will be in Las Vegas. So there you go. That is tonight's Sweet 16. And then tomorrow night's going to be a difficult one. You know, I'll watch Texas play Xavier, but I'll be like, oh, man. Anytime you're in this thing, you always want to play one more. Always. You always want to play one more.
And as I said before, Xavier would have been, I thought, a really, really good matchup for Penn State.
I think it would have been a tremendous matchup for Penn State.
Pickett would have gone off, in my opinion.
I mean, it would have been a tremendous. That's why I glanced at it. I'm like going, oh, man, the winner of this game's got Xavier. And Xavier's not deep. Jack Nungy is a good player. Jack was, of course, at Iowa. He transferred, and the reason he transfers for that, people will think, like, he transferred, he wanted to, please, no. Jack Nungy transferred. His father passed away. So he transferred to be closer to home. Okay? And he has been a good player for Xavier. Very good player. But Xavier is not a deep team.
And yeah, they try. I'm not that impressed with them.
They don't play well in the Sweet 16. I mean, come on. You got to be impressed with something. I mean, they're there. Okay. But I also think it's a team that is beatable at this stage of the tournament.
I don't like their mental makeup because when things weren't going well down the stretch with Kennesaw State, the guys were yelling at each other, guys were pressing, and then they just did whatever they wanted in their second round matchup because they finally made shots because that's how they've survived all year. That's not going to fly against Texas. I wouldn't be surprised if Texas beats them seamlessly.
Texas will beat them by double digits,
yes,
in my opinion.
I think that could be at least a 15-20-point margin of victory for them.
Now, can I say this about Kennesaw? I only saw them play one time all year, and it was on a tape. And you know what the tape was? And it was a game that was a 5-point game with 2 minutes to go, and Kennesaw was winning most of the game. Indiana at Assembly Hall.
Oh.
I walked out, and I said, that Kennesaw team is really good. You know, I'm not really big on Indiana for the most part. Trace Jackson Davis I'm big on. But the rest of the team, I kind of think they're good, not great. I'm done watching the team and going, that doggone Kennesaw team is... I said, they can fight. They're pretty good.
They may or may not have been in Lisa and Luke's Final Four, by the way.
There is a talk show tonight. I'll be there.